Let's now turn again to the part of God's Word which we read, and that is Hosea chapter 10. And we shall read at verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 from verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea is warning the people of Israel, warning them of judgment to come. Israel was guilty of worshiping the golden calves, and if they persisted in their idolatry, they would be visited with God's wrath. But God calls them to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. If they turn from their rebellion to righteousness, God will pour upon them the blessing of righteousness. He calls them to break their fallow ground. They must repent of their sins, and that with a broken heart. But you see, he also offers them hope. They have every reason to repent. They have every reason to turn to the Lord. Why? For it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Now is their opportunity. Now is the day of grace. You see, they have time to seek the Lord. But while they have opportunity, there is also urgency, because there will not always be time to seek the Lord. Now is the time, and if they seek him, they will find him. And if they don't find him immediately, well, they need to seek him still and not stop, for it is time to seek the Lord till. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ask, seek, knock, until you receive the blessing. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. There are three things that we desire to consider in this text, and with the Lord's help, we will notice, first of all, the call to repentance. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. The call to repentance. And secondly, the time to seek the Lord, for it is time to seek the Lord. And thirdly, the gift of righteousness, till he come and reign righteousness upon you. The call, the time, and the gift. The call to repentance, the time to seek the Lord, and the gift of righteousness. First of all, then, the call to repentance. Clearly, a call to the people to turn from sin to righteousness. Hosea is calling upon the people to sow in righteousness. And literally, it is sow for righteousness. If they desire the blessing of righteousness, they must be righteous. Sow for righteousness. They must sow in the way of obedience in order to receive the blessing that is attached to righteousness. The righteous receive the blessing. Sow in order to receive that blessing. Sow for righteousness, sow and do and obey in order to receive the blessing that is given to the righteous. And he also says, reap in mercy. It may be a call to perform acts of mercy towards others, but we take it as a promise of mercy to those who seek the Lord. The word is loving kindness. Translated goodness, kindness, love, loving kindness. Reap in mercy. If they obey the voice of the Lord, then he will give them the blessing of his love and kindness. It will not be in the way of earning it. They cannot merit his favor. But the Lord always gives the blessing to those who seek him, those who are following him in the way of righteousness. He always makes promises in order to encourage his people to obedience. But as we see in the text, in order to go in the path of righteousness, they need to turn from their sins. In order to follow the path of righteousness and receive the blessing of righteousness, they need to repent. So he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. They are hardened in sin. They cannot serve God with fallow ground, with a hard heart. And so they need to be broken. They need to repent. That's what fallow means. It means untilled or unsown. The land has been lying dormant. No one has tilled it. No one has planted it. And the soil just gets harder and harder. Nothing good will grow on that land until the ground is tilled. The soil must be turned over, broken up, in order for the crops to grow. And so it is with the sinner. God is calling us to break up our fallow ground. We need to break the ground of our hearts and lives. We need to till up the soil of our hearts. How can the good seed be planted and take root if the soil is hard? And what good will come if the seed is planted on stony ground? Well, you remember the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus said that some seed fell on stony ground. It was a thin layer of soil over the hard stone or rock beneath. And it didn't have any room for a root to take place, and it sprung up immediately. And that's because it was not good soil, and it wasn't broken up. It was rock. It was hard. And so in order to be affected by the truth, in order for the word to take root, we need broken hearts. Break up your fallow ground. The sinner is hardened by nature, not affected by the truth. And so good impressions, if they are made at all, they don't last. By nature, we are proud. We are stout-hearted. The sinner is not convicted as they should be and is unimpressed with the claims of God or the preaching of the word, bringing the law to bear upon the sinner. No, the sinner may think, well, we have always done this. The scriptures might not entirely approve it, but we've always done this. And in fact, everyone is doing it. Everyone is doing this practice, so why should we be too bothered about it? And then the sinner gets used to that way of life, so that because of the hardness of heart, there is indifference, and the law is preached, and judgment is announced, and the sinner is not concerned. In fact, the sinner may deceive himself or herself, saying deep in the heart, I shall have peace, everything will be all right. I shall have peace, even though I walk after the imagination of my heart. Moses warned about that self-deception long ago in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 19. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself. There's a curse going out, and yet he's blessing himself. The people hear the word and the commandments, and they think, well, that's all right, but I'll still be blessed. No, no. God is not mocked. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption and destruction. But God is warning the people, and he's warning Israel about their love of ease and their hardness. They are so used to the way things are with them No need to worry. We've always done it this way. He says, break up your fallow ground. He says that the people are like a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. Verse 11. Now, what does this mean? Well, Ephraim is another name for Israel. And the people of Israel were like an ox that would rather tread the corn than plow the field. In order to understand that, well, treading the corn was simply walking over the grain with its hooves to smash the grain and to separate the chaff from the kernel, or to pull a sledge and drag the sledge over all the grain in order to crush them and remove the kernel from the chaff. And afterwards, the grain would be thrown up in the air with a winnowing fork, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and the kernels would fall back to the ground. But the ox, this heifer, Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. Well, the word taught means she is used to this. The heifer is used to this, accustomed to this. This is what they like to do. They love to tread out the corn because the ox could just pull the sledge along and, in fact, even eat the grain from the threshing floor. They could actually feed upon this. The Lord had actually made a provision for the people. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. So that's what Israel liked to do spiritually. In other words, they loved their ease. They were self-indulgent. They were prosperous. And the result is they were hard. Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. It's much easier to tread out the corn than to go out in the field and plow. The plowing is hard work. Well, we're like that heifer. We love to tread out the corn. And this is the way sinners are. In fact, even people who grow up in the church are like that. They are willing to follow the general path. They will come to church. They will hold family worship. They will go along with these things, but as far as diligently seeking the Lord is concerned, they're not willing. They are spiritually slothful. Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. How does this describe you? Being brought up in the church, quite content to hear a sermon, perhaps even write a few notes. But then when you leave the church, your mind drifts away, and you would rather think about work or recreation more than the needs of your soul. You try to get happiness from the things of this life, and even from sinful pleasures, perhaps. And the point is, you love this way. You love this way of life. It's sort of an easy life. And performing duties, religious duties, church, prayer, family worship, this appeases your conscience. But you're not seriously, diligently seeking the Lord, and you don't really, really, really care, because you don't really, really, really feel the need. That's why there's a measure of indifference. Hardness of heart. God is saying to such, like Ephraim here, Ephraim is an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck, and I will make Ephraim to ride. Well, what was going to happen? God was going to pass over the heifer and fasten the harness and make that heifer go out and plow the field. That heifer is going to do hard work now. And God is telling us to take his yoke. And God is telling us to take his yoke willingly. Because the point is, if we don't take his yoke willingly and follow the way of righteousness, he may force it upon us. Then we will have to do the hard work against our will. And it won't be easy. We may pass through horrible affliction. or die in our sins, which is worse, and perish in hell. God is calling us, break up your fallow ground. God is also condemning their sin in verse 13. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, and so on. So they were guilty of not breaking up their fallow ground, but instead of plowing for God, as it were, they are plowing wickedness. As it were, they're going out of their way to indulge sinful pleasures. Of course, this is a great glaring sin. God is saying it wasn't enough that they were sinful, that they weren't seeking the Lord diligently, but they were actually plowing wickedness. They were going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And we need to examine ourselves. Perhaps you may not be indulging in sinful pleasures outwardly. You may not be going in the ways of sin outwardly, where everybody can see and say, well, that person is a worldly man, that woman is a worldly woman. But are we indulging in thinking about wickedness, thinking about sinful things, and enjoying it? God looks at every mind in this room, in this hall, in this church. He sees every one of us right into our very hearts and minds and knows every thought. And he knows when we go aside and we just dream sinful imaginations, when we think about wicked things, God sees it all. Not one thought escapes his notice. And do we think we can get away with it and just God will just pass it by and not punish it? No, no, God is saying, break up your fallow ground. He sees all the wickedness, and he will certainly punish all of those terrible imaginations, pride, vanity, thinking about sinful things when you would never say it or do it. God knows it. God is calling us to repent. Repent or perish. He says, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. We may think that it's quite harmless to think about these sinful things. I'm not hurting anyone, and your conscience doesn't even trouble you when you have these sinful thoughts. But you're deceiving yourself. You're actually digging yourself deeper into sin. You are going to reap iniquity. Plowing wickedness, reaping iniquity, sowing to the flesh and corruption, you will have it all come back to you. That is all you will get. More sin and worse for you. The wrath of God. And the people are warned about the tumult, the great conquest of Assyria, that Shalmaneser would come and attack and destroy. Well, I'm not sure the actual king at this time, but it says in verse 14, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. So as Shalmaneser had already attacked, so further destruction would come upon the people. And so we are being warned that our following sinful things are going in the way of hardness of heart. We are heaping upon ourselves the wrath of God. And soon a great tumult will break out, and fear and trembling, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. The people in Zion are afraid. In the church, people are afraid. They hear about other judgments, and they're saying to themselves, it's going to come upon us. And who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Verse 15, he says, so shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. The Bethel was referring to the golden calves. Because of your worshiping the golden calves, that is going to bring God's judgment upon you. Friends, let us lay to heart that we will not escape the judgment of God if we do not repent of our sins. The only remedy is break up your fallow ground. Your heart is hard. Friend, your heart must be broken. Your life is one of ease. Just go with the path of least resistance, right between the two extremes of repentance and giving up worldliness and throwing off all restraint and going fully into the world. Just follow that path. It's the love of ease. God is saying, break up your fallow ground. Break your heart, rend your heart and not your garment. Diligently attend the means of grace as if your life depended upon it. Friend, your life does depend upon it. And you must go against that fleshly tendency. You must do violence to sinful self and till the soil of your heart and seek that broken heart from God. Break up your fallow ground. Enough of this lightness, enough of this carelessness, enough of forgetting the sermon, enough of looking forward to other things and forgetting about God, finding your satisfaction in this life when God calls you to look above. Break up your fallow ground. Turn from your rebellion. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, break off thy sins by righteousness. Break it off. Break your heart. Break up your fallow ground. Turn from idols. You may feel the pain of cutting off that right hand or plucking out that right eye, that sinful indulgence of yours, whatever it may be. You know what it is, if it is true. Jesus Christ says, cut off that right hand, and you may feel the pain of it. But it is better to have, as he says, one hand and one eye and go to heaven than go to hell with two hands and two eyes. And that means it's better to go to heaven with the heart pain of having given up an idol rather than to keep your idols in your heart and go to hellfire. Wouldn't it be better to throw out that idol to the moles and to the bats, say goodbye to those things, that you might have life and you might know you're one of God's children? And in order to have a broken heart, you need a new heart. And you know, God says, make you a new heart. Friend, he puts the responsibility upon us. No one can just go outside the church and say, well, we can't repent of ourselves, we can't change ourselves, and therefore we're without excuse. We are excused. We're not to be blamed. But God says, make you a new heart. And so he is saying to us that it is your sin that you are hard in your heart, and it is your responsibility to turn from sin. It is your responsibility to love him, to serve him. It is your responsibility to break your fallow ground. But the wonderful good news is that he offers you a new heart, that he offers his spirit to implant a new principle of spiritual life in your soul. He promises, he offers, and promises to give to those who ask his Holy Spirit that you would be able to turn from sin, that you would be able to break up your fallow ground. Oh, lay to heart his command, break up your fallow ground, break your hard heart, turn to the Lord, and you will live. And he gives us encouragement. In what way? When he says, for it is time to seek the Lord. That's the encouragement. And that's what we're going to notice now. In the second place, the time to seek the Lord. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. In the second place, the time to seek the Lord. Here's the great motive that God presents to us for turning from sin to God. Here is our encouragement, and that's what we learn from the word for. Break up your fallow ground for this reason, because it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea was a prophet sent to Israel to warn the people, but it was a great mercy. He was not being cruel. No, not in any way was he being cruel to the people. And the minister is not being harsh and severe when he is simply preaching the word and showing us what God is saying to those that he knows need to hear this. And the minister doesn't know everyone in every condition and who needs to hear this part of God's word and the warnings and the exhortations. But the Lord knows, and he puts this before us, and he is calling us, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is a great mercy to hear the call to repentance, because it's not a call of judgment. No, it's a call to repentance because there is time to repent. There is time to turn. And because the repentance is repentance to life. And everyone who repents will be forgiven. So God was very merciful to Israel in sending Hosea the prophet to them, yes, to warn them severely. God was not keeping from them the truth of judgment to come, making it very plain and clear so that they just could not forget the warnings. It was impressed upon them very vividly in the concrete form so that the Israelites could actually see the judgment coming. They could see those Assyrian soldiers coming. They could see their people being treated horribly and cruelly by those Assyrian soldiers. They knew it. It was painted upon their mind's eye. And so Hosea is sent by God to warn them out of the goodness and mercy of God. And that's the mercy of God which we are to consider now, because it is time. It's a time of mercy. It's a time of opportunity. Oh, that they would not waste such precious time of seeking the Lord. They were liable to abusing it and just wasting the time. And they would say, oh, well, there's Hosea the prophet. He's preaching again. We saw him yesterday and the day before. He'll just keep preaching and nothing will happen. Or it's so far in the future, there's nothing to worry about. And they were wasting, abusing the opportunities of seeking the Lord. Let us not waste the opportunity. It is time. It is time to seek the Lord. God is giving us time. And it is this very moment that we are called upon to seek the Lord. And it's showing us, I believe, that it is a seasonable time to seek the Lord. Because God is calling so loudly in his word. And perhaps God is dealing with you in providence, and you have not gone away so far as to never come to church and hear the word of God. This is God's providence to you. You might think, oh, well, I'm a good person. I would never do that. It's God's providence that you're here in the church building right now hearing the word of God. That's a mercy. And perhaps you may even be awakened somewhat, and the things of the Lord may become more, may becoming more real to you, And what does this mean? What should be your reaction to this fact? Well, it means that you should be pressing into the kingdom, because it is time. It's time to seek the Lord. When God is dealing with you, when Christ in providence and in his word is knocking at the door of your heart. Yes, God in his mercy is giving you time. It is time to seek the Lord. And he's giving you or making known to you stated times of seeking the Lord. When you rise up in the morning, it's time to seek the Lord. Special time before the busyness of the day comes upon you. Seek the Lord when you rise and when you lie down at night. Things are quiet now. You can even walk outside and there's nobody around. It's time to seek the Lord. Especially on the Sabbath day. You're given more than 12 hours all day long to do nothing but seek the Lord. Oh, you say, well, I have to take care of the children, or I have to eat lunch and prepare and so on. Well, who said that you have to spend 2 hours with eating lunch, for example? What matters most to you? It is time to seek the Lord. In fact, there is never a time not to seek the Lord while you're upon earth. At this time of your life, it is time to seek the Lord. And whenever you look at the clock, remind yourself, it is time to seek the Lord. You look at the clock, it's 8 a.m., it's time for breakfast. You look at the clock, 12:30, it's time for lunch. You look at the clock at 3 p.m., it's time for recess or whatever. Take a break at work. But you can always look at the clock and say, it is time to seek the Lord. And that's what matters most. The time that God gives you, 24 hours a day, to seek the Lord. You're to seek the Lord at special times. It is time to seek the Lord in family worship. Never neglect the means of grace. It is time to seek the Lord in public worship. It is time to seek the Lord in secret worship. Never neglect secret worship. Seek the Lord. And hearing the word of God, when a sermon is preached, it is time to seek the Lord. There is time. There is opportunity. Don't waste. Don't squander the opportunity of seeking the Lord. And it is now high time to seek the Lord, especially, if I may say, just now to those who are in their youth. A special time. Because God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, he says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When life is so difficult, and there may be hard times when it is actually harder to concentrate, and you will wish with all your heart that you had sought the Lord earlier in your life. And there may be days when you're so full of the cares of this life that you're greatly distracted from seeking the Lord. So now, in your youth, I'm not going to say what youth is, but most of you here, I would say, are in your youth. Seek the Lord in the golden years of your life. Before you can hardly think and concentrate in seeking the Lord, especially, seek him now. What an opportunity you have. Young man, young woman, and how will you make your way clean and straight before the Lord? Taking heed thereto according to his word. Go to the word, seek him. For it is time to seek the Lord. And when you seek him early in your life, you will be useful for his service. giving your best days and years to the Lord, giving your energy and your talent and your time to the Lord for his service. It is time to seek the Lord. And you will not seek him in vain. He may be found. Seek the Lord. He does not say, "Seek ye my face in vain." If it was a vain thing to seek the Lord, he would not say, "Seek ye the Lord while he is near. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." He may be found. That's the point. The Lord may be found. You say, I have been seeking the Lord and I haven't found him yet. Seek till you find. If you just stop now, you won't find him. Will giving up praying and giving up seeking the Lord and giving up worshiping God, will that save your soul? You know the answer to that. Seek the Lord because there is opportunity. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And everyone who seeks finds. But you see, friend, while there is opportunity, clearly there is also urgency. It is time to seek the Lord. God is giving you time. How thankful you should be. But friend, it will not always be time to seek the Lord, because the time will come when the opportunity of seeking is over. The time will come when to seek the Lord will not be possible. Seek the Lord while there is time. Seek his face before it is too late. When should you seek the Lord? What does the Word of God say? Now is the accepted time. Now is the appropriate time. He gives you time, but now is the right time. The right time for seeking the Lord is now. This very moment. This very moment, as you are, just as you are, seek the Lord. We don't say, wait until you go home to seek the Lord. We say, seek the Lord now, in the pew, where you are. Let prayers go up to God. Lord, help me to seek thee. Lord, help me to come to thee. Oh, that I would seek thee now, this moment, and find thee. Lord, reveal thyself to me. Because it is time to seek the Lord. God offers salvation now, and God is calling you now. Turn to him and live. He's urging you now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Paul tell the Athenians? God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now is the time. It is time to seek the Lord. He doesn't say, seek him tomorrow. Perhaps you can show me the text that says, seek the Lord tomorrow. No, no. Seek him now, for it is time to seek the Lord. The Lord doesn't say that you have so many months or so many years to live, and you can seek him throughout all of those years. No. Now's the time, because you may not have a tomorrow. He does not tell you like Jonah did to the Ninevites, yet 40 days, and God will destroy this city. No, you don't have 4 days promised. You have only now. Only now. Only this time. You may never have another time, for it is time to seek the Lord. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, seek the Lord. Today, do not harden your heart, but break your heart. Friend, let your heart be broken. Let the soil of your heart be tilled. Break up your fallow ground. Your life has been untilled. Your life has been uncultivated. It's been lying dormant, even dead. And Jesus is saying, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In his light we shall see light. Come to him for that light. Come to him for that life. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord now. Turn from your rebellious ways, for it is time to seek the Lord. Call upon him now, because he gives you time now. It is time to seek the Lord, because that time is coming to an end. And soon, time shall be no more. There will be no more delays, and no more reprieve, no more probation, no more periods of time, no more opportunities. They'll all be gone, and for you, if you do not repent and believe, it will all be wasted opportunities. Every single one of those times of seeking were all squandered and lost forever. But God calls you now to seek him before it is too late, and there's no more preaching of the word, and there's no more free offer of the gospel, and no more sweet overtures of mercy and ministers appealing to you and urging you to come to Christ. Do we get too used to these things? Do you think God is going to just erase from the record all those sermons that you heard and every opportunity you had to seek him? No, it's all recorded. It's all in the register. Every one of the opportunities is written down. God sees it all, and it'll all be brought before you on the judgment day, but it will be too late to seek him. And you'll be knocking at the door, but the door will be shut. And God will say, I never knew you. Friend, it is time to seek the Lord while the Holy Spirit is striving with you. Because if you don't actually turn to the Lord and believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit will no longer strive to urge you to do so. The matter of your soul's salvation is urgent. It is time to seek the Lord before the Holy Spirit withdraws forever. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Friend, now is the time to press into the kingdom and to take the kingdom of heaven with violence and to say, I must have Christ. I must enter the gate or I'm lost forever. That's the attitude, that's the way, that's the urgency, that is how you should be seeking the Lord. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The time will come when the last day will come, and it will be time to be either welcomed into heaven or to be cast into hell forever. It is time, friend, this moment, to seek the Lord. Well, what is seeking the Lord? Well, as we said, I think already, it is seeking with the intention of finding. Seeking with the intention of finding. And if you don't have the intention to find, you're not seeking. I don't say that to be cruel, but to lay it to heart. You're not seeking unless you intend to find. I must find Christ. I will find him. I won't stop until I have him. That's seeking the Lord. As one writer says, seeking the Lord implies an anxious, diligent, persevering application of one's whole energy to seeking the Lord, not giving over the search till the object is attained. I'll just repeat that. It implies an anxious, diligent, persevering application of one's whole energy to seeking the Lord, not giving over the search till the object is attained, seeking with the intention of finding. And every one of us should ask ourselves, does this describe me? Am I seeking in order to find? And what are we to seek? Seek the Lord. For it is time to seek the Lord. We're to seek the Lord's blessings. That is, spiritual blessings. Seek a new heart. Yes. Above all things, salvation. Seek His saving grace. The grace of repentance. You cannot repent of yourself. It is your duty to repent this moment. But repentance is a saving grace, and it is by the power of the Spirit that a person repents. So what should you seek? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, God gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Marvelous. He doesn't give the Spirit, not in that promise, to those who work for Him. Certainly not to those who think they can earn Him. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You're not required to do some great thing, but ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And where are you to go for this grace of repentance? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is exalted a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That's why he's exalted. That's why he is at the right hand of God, giving repentance, giving grace, sending his Spirit. Go to Christ for repentance. What else should you seek? Seek forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is a promise. It is a blessing to be sought after, and we are to go to Jesus for forgiveness and lay hold of his promise. Yes, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, repentance does not merit forgiveness. But there is no forgiveness without repentance. It's in the way of repentance, in the way of a broken heart and confessing and grieving over our sins, laying hold of the mercy of God in Christ, that we receive forgiveness. And remember to encourage you that a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Break up your fallow ground. If you truly have a broken heart, you enjoy the fact that God is pleased. And God is looking upon you, looking upon all those who tremble at his word. Seek him, seek the Lord, seek his favor and seek assurance. Seek the Lord's countenance. Seek him that he would shine on you with his face, that you would enjoy the favor of God in your soul. And also seek the blessings of temporal things, because that is all bound up with the pursuit of righteousness. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Yes, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The things that you need here on earth, temporal mercies, that will be added to the portion that you already enjoy, and that is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You seek the kingdom is yours. You seek his righteousness is yours. And in addition to that, all the other things that you need in this life, they're additional, they're extra, but they're promised too. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So what should you seek? The righteousness of God. Yes, to be covered with the white robe of his righteousness, and to seek not only the righteousness in justification, but the righteousness in sanctification by his Spirit. And I believe that's what is meant by seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, both in justification and in sanctification, to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and to have the righteousness by the Holy Spirit imparted to us or infused within us. All the blessings are bound up in seeking righteousness. And that's what we consider finally in the third place, the gift of righteousness. Because he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So thirdly, the gift of righteousness. Well, again, notice the words, till he come. And so we're not to pray only so many times, but pray till we are heard. We're not to seek the Lord only for just so many days, but seek until we find, till he rain righteousness upon you. But notice that he says, till he come. Oh, what precious words these are. Seek him till he come to you. The Lord will come to those who seek him, because he may be found, and he discloses himself to those who seek him. As he said to the woman of Samaria, I that speak unto thee am he. He revealed himself to her, and the Lord will permit himself to be found of those who seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And so we're to seek him till we discover him, till we get a view of him, till he come. But then he says, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Well, you see, back to Israel, they were in danger of the Assyrian army coming and destroying them all. If they had been righteous, if they had been diligent to serve God, God would protect them from the Assyrians, just like he did Hezekiah. They would have the blessing of righteousness. And so God is saying, seek the Lord until he rain righteousness upon you, till he gives you the blessing of those who are righteous. So if you sow for righteousness, sow for the blessing of those who are righteous, you will get that blessing, the blessing that belongs to the righteous, till he rain blessing, the blessing of righteousness upon you. And we're to seek the Lord till he pours out the blessing upon us. Again, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He will give all that is bound up with it. It is a great reward to those who keep the same, who keep the commandments. Again, it's not merited. We don't deserve it. But God promises the reward of this blessedness to encourage obedience. It's in the way of following Christ and the ways of the Lord that we receive the blessings. They come down from heaven upon us when we follow him. Seek him till he rain righteousness upon you, until he gives you the blessing of justification. What is that? Peace. Seek him till you get peace. Till you have the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works, that's blessing indeed. Seek him till God comes and rains righteousness upon you, until he clothes you with his own righteousness and he gives you the comfort of it. When he brings you to the liberty of the gospel and you have peace and joy in your soul, what a blessing that is. Pray for this kind of rain. Oh yes, we need the rain to water the crops and fill up the water reservoirs, but we need the rain of righteousness. We need the power of the Spirit to be poured upon us, that people would turn from sin to righteousness and receive the reign and blessing of righteousness, even the favor of God. Seek Him till you enjoy the comfort of sanctification. To every one of God's people, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is promised. And one of the ways He comforts is by subduing our iniquities. As we've said before, when pride and covetousness and all the passions of the heart are subdued, then there is peace. There is comfort. And while we said earlier that we're speaking to everyone, that we should be giving up our idols, even though it may cost us pain of heart, yet God can make us willing to give up our idols, to give up sinful indulgences, so that we may feel very little pain, very little grief. In fact, if you truly give up your idols by the grace of God, He can make it the most joyful thing you have ever done. With enthusiasm, casting your idols to the moles and to the bats, Ephraim shall say, "What have I to do any more with idols?" God says, "I have heard him and observed him." Yes, He takes notice. And how then we should praise the Lord for His gospel and for His promise, and recognize that God is offering salvation now. Yes, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but break up your fallow ground, thanking the Lord that He offers salvation now. Do not abuse this blessing and mercy. Do not make the grace of God to be vain in your life. That is the offer of salvation. Don't let it be a vain thing, but receive Christ and receive this grace. How will you respond to it? Will you be like Felix, who trembled, but he did no more? Or will you be like Agrippa, who said, "Almost, almost, almost you persuade me," but it doesn't sound like he was? Or will you be like that Ethiopian eunuch? He said, "I want to be baptized." Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart," he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he meant it, and he said it with his heart. And he went on rejoicing. He accepted that time to seek the Lord. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why do you stand without? Come in, come in. Heaven shalt thou win. Come, come, friend. Close your ears to all else. Seek the Lord today. Seek Him now. Close with Christ, and Christ will be yours. If you desire Him, He is yours. If you're willing to have Him, He's willing to have you. What will you say? Like Rebecca, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." May He bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, work in us that willingness. Subdue our rebellion. By thy Spirit, break our hard hearts, that we would be contrite, that we would be humble, coming to an end of self and self-confidence, no longer proudly laying the blame elsewhere, but giving glory to God and acknowledging we are sinful and trusting only in Christ for salvation, and not stop seeking thee till we find thee, until we have come to the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. Bless each one, we pray. Cleanse us from all our sins. For Christ Jesus' sake, amen.